I always like to harass Pastor Ed a lot because I had to haul my trailer down here all summer long and he wouldn't let me preach from it. But so I continue to give him a hard time. He says, man, I missed the fun. I didn't get to hear the echo out there. And then I had to go preach at another church just so I could do that, you know. So I like to harass Pastor about that. But no, it's good. It's all good. You know what? God is so good. He's been teaching us some really cool things. And, you know, growing up on the farm as Ed did, we get into a lot of really cool different things happening in our lives. And some really crazy stuff happens from time to time. And I don't have a lot of the stories of near-death experience that Pastor Ed has. I don't know whether I wasn't as crazy as he or whether living on top of Blue Knob's a little different than living in Tioga County. I don't know. I see a lot of different or similarities, but I don't know. But I had a father growing up who was always teaching us about God and what he was doing in our lives. And this time of year right now is our potato harvest season. And one of the big things my dad always taught was lessons on potatoes. And so it's really kind of interesting when you look at the potato, what God has done with a potato. Most of you know that these little spots on your potatoes are called eyes, right? And you realize that those are all growing points for the potato. So if you were going to plant this, and hopefully I don't mess up my mic because I need to get my knife out here. There we go. All right. So when we go to plant these, those of you who have maybe have done this, maybe though some of you haven't, didn't know this. But you can cut all these little pieces, and as long as it has an eye on it, it'll grow. It'll turn into a whole new plant. And you can cut them small. As long as it has at least one eye, it will grow. Yeah, and Grandpa always used to tell us when we were planting them, I've been growing potatoes all my life, all right? Grandpa, they tell me back when my dad was a kid, they would plant about 2 acres of potatoes. We only ever planted about a half acre of potatoes. We plant 9 50-pound seed bags a year, and we always grow red Pontiac potatoes. Simply because we like the flavor. No other reason. They're actually kind of uglier and kind of harder to grow, but they're really cool. But Grandpa always used to tell us, plant them with the eyes up so they can see to grow. My brother, who did a lot of the dropping when we hand planted, you would score a row, and then we would drop these every 10 to 12 inches in the row. And my brother would try to get all the eyes up when he was planting. And you could tell. It would make a difference. You would see sections in the row where he did really good because they would all come up very evenly. They all come out of the ground all about the same time. It's pretty cool. Now I got a mechanical planter and I don't really care. It runs through the ground and drops them in the ground and that's pretty awesome. I think because I'm not bending over all day dropping these things. But what Dad always taught us was when we were harvesting. And so we'd be going along. You'd see a little seed piece like this sometimes. And sometimes it would look almost identical to this. It had dried a little bit, but it looked identical to this. And Dad would say, hey, look, come here, look at this seed piece. He said, look, this was planted here, and it never grew. He says, you know what? God's going to plant things in your life, but be careful that they don't grow. Be careful that you don't ignore it and not let it grow. And my dad used to teach me really cool stuff like that. Like God wants to do something in your life, and he wants it to grow. You see, the starches in the potato is all the energy that this potato needs to make a sprout come out of one of those holes, push through the ground to where it can get to some sunlight, and then the plants can begin to photosynthesize. And whenever it's photosynthesizing correctly, then all of a sudden you get more potatoes. And you get more potatoes. And sometimes you even get more potatoes. What a cool year we had this year. You know, I found about 7 or 8 like this year. I mean, these things are massive. It's like this is a one family potato. And a lot of times you get little ones like this. And Dad said, what fruit's growing in your life? What are you letting grow? And then sometimes you'd run into a potato that the quack grass, we didn't have the weeds controlled good, and the quack grass would grow right through and out the other side of the potato and ruin the potato. And Dad would say, "Hey, what weeds are growing in your life? What's growing in there? Because God may have a fruit growing in your life, and that weed's going to grow right through it and ruin it. You need to take care of the weeds in your garden." So my dad taught me a lot of really cool stuff like that. And one of the things by him teaching me those kind of cool things, it opened my eyes to, as I was working, as I was doing different jobs, I would watch for, what's God want to teach me today? What's God want to show me today? And so as I went to prepare for this Sunday, I told Ed, I said, "I think I'm going to pull out the old potato message," because I preached a potato message years ago. And I can tell you, it was so long ago, I couldn't even find it in my computer. I must have printed it up on another computer, but I finally found a hard copy, which wasn't even in my sermon folder. And so I'm like, man, that must have been a long time ago I preached that message. But the Lord didn't lead me that way. The Lord led me into Ephesians chapter 3, and he said, "I want you to talk about roots." You see, roots are an incredibly important part of a plant. Of course, we all kind of realize on the onset, if you don't have a root, you die, right? Yeah, that's pretty simple. But the root is responsible for drawing up all the water, all the nutrients that that plant needs to produce the growth and to produce the fruit that that plant is designed to grow and produce. And not only is it designed for pulling all that stuff out of the ground to be used, but it's also designed for anchoring that plant into the ground and holding it firm no matter what it faces. No matter what happens in that plant's lifetime, that is there to hold it into the ground. And there's a lot of different types of root systems, and you can see them all over. When certain trees blow over, you can see the roots sticking up, right? And you're like, man, that tree's really surface rooted, like 8 inches, and that was all the deeper the roots went. And then if you ever tried to pull a dandelion root out of the ground, did you ever try to dig one of them puppies? You get down there 2-3 feet and it's still going. Like, where in the world is that thing coming out? We always used to joke that there was somebody on the other side of the earth pulling the other way as we were pulling up. Just figured they went clear through. Man, those things are long. But God designs them all different. They all got a different purpose. And he said, "I want you to look at roots today. I want you to pay attention to roots." I said, "Okay. All right." So he takes me to Ephesians chapter 3. And when we get to Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, we read these words. It starts out with, and this passage is Paul praying for the church at Ephesus. And there are some very specific things here that he is praying for these people. Okay, so he's praying, first of all, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Let's just pause there. What's that? And as I prayed about that and I talked to that, God says, this is a supernatural, internal healing and development of a person. So Paul is praying that the people would have a supernatural, internal healing and development. Now, it just happened that yesterday, as we were cutting firewood for our pastor, that I was going along and we split this chunk of wood yesterday. And I couldn't help but stop the guys as we were working because I wanted to show them something. You look, that's the outside of the wood. You can see a little dimple there, and probably if it had bark on it, you wouldn't even notice it, right? You would think that that tree was fine. There was no problems. But as we split it, look what was inside it. Now, if we want to talk about a supernatural, internal healing and development of a person's life, look what God did in this tree. This limb on the side of this tree broke off. It was dead. It was diseased. And it could have affected and ruined the whole entire rest of the tree. But the amazing thing about a tree and the way it grows is the growth comes back the limbs and then it comes down the trunk. And when this breaks off, every time it comes down the trunk, it grows another layer over that hole. A little bit closer to covering, a little bit closer to covering, a little bit closer to covering, and it eventually heals itself. And the really cool thing about that is, rot cannot get into the tree beyond where that break happened, from that spot. All the new growth cannot be affected by that old break. So in your life, when you got something that goes on, that gets broken off, that is dead, that is diseased, when you get something bad that happens to your life, this is what God does. God begins to heal you. He begins to cover you over. And pretty soon, you don't even notice it. Because God is doing an amazing work in each and every one of our lives. God is bringing a supernatural, internal healing and future development. It doesn't just stop with, okay, you'll be okay after that. No, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to develop you into the future. I'm going to make you into something awesome. Isn't that hole pretty? You know, that hole wouldn't have looked so cool if that branch wasn't stuck in there. You know what? We each have some pretty junky things that happen in our lives, and some things get broken off. But God's making some pretty cool stuff out of us. He is. We just got to let Him make the cool stuff out of us. But that's not even the message. That's the side note this morning. So that's the first thing that He's praying. We got to get you healed. We got to take care of that. Then He prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. All right? So now you've got a daily working of faith in your life's actions. That's a daily basis. God has brought healing. God is bringing development. And now by faith, you're making decisions that this is what God wants me to do. This is the direction I'm going to go. And by faith, even when it looks bad, even when it's scary out, you say, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow God. As Ed has been teaching us, you take the next right step. That's faith. I'm going to take the next right step. I'm going to do today what I'm supposed to do right. No matter what happened back then, I'm going to do today what was supposed to be right. So I'm going to have that faith for that daily action. And then He says that you, and this is finally getting to where I wanted to get to preach this morning, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. And then finally, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. As I look at this scripture, I look at how He progresses through. You need a healing. You need to take daily steps in your faith. And if you want to get to the point of being the fullest, if you want to get to the point of where you're growing with everything and producing the maximum amount of fruit that God wants to produce in your life, then you need to be rooted and grounded in love. You see that? You see that? You got to be rooted and grounded in love. If you're not rooted and grounded in love, you're not going to take in what you need to make it to the fullness. Has anyone here ever dyed Queen Anne's lace? My mom said that was what they had in her wedding for flowers. And what I understand is, I've never done it, what I understand is you put food coloring and you set the flower in the food coloring and the flower turns the color of the food coloring. It's because it's what's taken up into the plant. And so what's taken up into your plant? Of your life. What is coming in your roots? What are the roots in your life drawing up into your plant? And that's really what I want to look at today. It says specifically that we are to be rooted and grounded in love. So let's look at 1 John 4, 7 through 11, and we read these words. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is, anybody? Love. Right, all right, God is love. Repeat it, God. Okay, God is love. Good, we got to get this, we got to hang on to this, all right? Because I'm going to make a little transition here, and I want you to pay attention to this. God is love. All right? And in this love of God was manifested toward us that God sent his son, his only begotten son, into the world for what reason? That we might live through him. All right? So God being love manifested himself, who he is love, that that love would come to you and me so that we may have life and have it more abundantly, so that we might live through him. God's love was manifest in Jesus to us. Therefore, we need more Jesus. If you feel like you're lacking something, you need Jesus. And as I was looking at this part of this verse, and I kept reading this over, we need Jesus. We need more Jesus. We need more Jesus. God began to impress something on my heart, and he impressed these words. He said, if you are tired or lonely, worn out, stressed out, or played out, you don't need a drink or a drug. You don't need something new or something old to get away or stay at home. You need Jesus. Flip that side, Tracy. You got to be rooted in love. God is love. That love was manifested in Jesus to us. Therefore, we need more Jesus. Now, next slide. If you are tired or lonely, worn out or stressed out, or played out, you don't need a drink or a drug, something new or something old to get away or stay at home. You need Jesus. I troll a lot on Facebook. And it cracks me up how many people say, I need a vacation. I need to get to the ocean. I need a drink. I need this. I need that. And there's so many times I just want to put in the replies, no, you need Jesus. Nowhere in Scripture does God tell us we need those things. I know life can be wearing out. I know it can be stressful. And I know you can be doing 100 different things. We can look back, and Mike and I were just talking this morning. How was your week, Toby? And I said, it was pretty crazy. And he's like, yeah, I figured it would be. Well, Mike and I know when it's our turn to preach, we know it's going to get a crazy week. Because the enemy doesn't want us to share the word of God. But that doesn't mean that I need a drink or I need a drug. Chemicals aren't going to solve your problems. Jesus is going to solve your problems. You don't need to go buying something. Anybody here get a little buzz from buying something new? Look what I got, something new. I mean, there are some times I kind of, you know, if I get a new tractor, I'm like, woohoo, this is pretty awesome. It's, you know, and then it breaks down 2 months later, you know. Or do we sit around wishing, man, if I just had this that I had back in the past. Man, if so-and-so was still living near here and I could go and talk to them. You see, we're always looking for something new, or we're looking for something old. We're looking for a drink. We're working for a drug. I need to get away. I got to go on vacation, or I just need to stay home. I can't see anybody today. No, you need Jesus. Now, I'm not saying you can't go on vacation and get Jesus, okay? Don't take me wrong on this. But what you need is Jesus. We need to start as believers in Christ, getting that through our heads, That when problems arise, when we're stressed out, when we're played out, when we need Jesus, when things aren't going right, I'm going to say it again. We need Jesus. Simply because I hear it too often. I need this, I need that. In fact, Dan, I even said it to Dan last night. I took my gun for a walk for a little while last night, and I told him, I said, boy, I needed to get out in the woods tonight. Like, no, you dummy. As soon as I said it, it ran through my head. No, you need Jesus. It was really nice to sit out in the woods last evening. It was beautiful. But what I needed was Jesus. Did I talk to Jesus there? Yes. But what I need was Jesus. I don't need to get out. I need Jesus. So ultimately, our root system, we need Jesus in our roots. So here we go. Let's start focusing now on the roots. Where are you rooted? All right, Matthew chapter 13, it's the parable of the seed and the sower. The keys to this parable are location, location, location. Just like sales, right? In that parable, Jesus is teaching, and Jesus says, a sower went out to sow, and some of the seed fell on the wayside, and some of the seed fell on the stony ground, and some of the seed fell on the weedy ground, and some fell on good ground. And what happened to that different seed? Well, that seed that fell on the hard ground, it was so hard, the roots could never take place. The roots just couldn't get in there. And the birds come along and said, look, somebody threw out a free lunch. Thank you. And so the birds had lunch, and the seed was gone. The stony ground where the weeds fell, there was a little bit of dirt. There was a little bit of good stuff, and it sprung up, and it grew. But as soon as the sun came out and it started to get dry, there was a weak root. It had no strength to grow. And right away, that plant died. Then there was some that was a pretty decent ground, but that ground had a lot of weeds in it. And the weeds grew as well as so did the grain grow. And as it was growing, the weeds come up, and pretty soon the weeds were stronger than the plant. And the grain ended up dying because the weeds choked them out. Ultimately, there was some of that seed fell on the good ground. And so that good ground, it had a strong root. Had everything it needed. No competition. And it yielded fruit. Don't you like the little button on there that I can hang on to? It's pretty cool. Good fruit. Lots of fruit. 30, 60, 100 fold. We planted 450 pounds of potatoes. So far, I've bagged up a little over 33 bags, 50-pound bags. Remember, we started with 9. Well, I still have a 16-foot long, 8-foot wide, and about 4-foot, 4.5-foot high truckload of potatoes to sort yet. Clear full. Sometimes it yields 100 times when they're rooted good. So examine yourself this morning. Stop. Put it in your head a little bit here. Where's your roots this morning? What are you feeding on? Are you feeding on the improper stuff? Or can't you even feed because your heart's so hard you can't even receive what God wants for you to hear today? You got a bunch of things going on in your life you really need to get rid of, like stones. Or do you got a lot of sin in your life like weeds that are choking you out? Examine your life. Your root system's going to make the difference. And if your heart's not prepared to receive the root, it's not going to grow. So where are you rooted? Okay? Next, we're going to say, what are you rooted in? Because that was location. Now we're looking at what is the soil media that you're in. Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6 we'll start with, and then we'll go clear through to 8. But 5 and 6 says this, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. Are you rooted today in the flesh? Are you rooted in what you're able to do? Oh, especially men, I think, can really struggle with this a lot, because I'll pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm a tough guy. I can handle this. And Jesus says, no, you need me. So often we want to pull ourselves up, or we want to trust in other people. Well, so-and-so never come into my life and never help me. Well, nobody ever takes care of me. Nobody ever gives me what I need. You know what? You need Jesus. He will give you what you need. The government won't give you what you need. This world won't give you what you need. Flesh is not going to give you what you need. Jesus is going to give you what you need. Look at the person who is trusting in the flesh. Look at what it says that will happen to him. He'll be like a shrub in the desert, and he shall not see when good comes. When you're trusting in the flesh, you can't even tell when God is trying to do something good in your life. I've even heard people say, well, God never did anything for me. And I wonder if it's because they were trusting in the flesh, they were rooted in the flesh, and they couldn't even see when God was doing something good for them. You know, sometimes the things that God is trying to do good for us, we don't love. And so we say God's not doing anything good. When really, when it comes down to it, God's saying, no, I'm not letting you go there, because that would be bad. You may think it's good. You may think it's what you want, but that's not what you need. You need Jesus. But you are so trusting in the flesh that you can't even see that I'm doing good for you. You're going to live in a dry land. A land that doesn't even grow anything when you're trusting in the flesh. Jeremiah continues to write the words, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, will not cease from yielding its fruit. This is what happens when we root ourselves in the Lord. The blessing comes. The increase comes. Notice, even when the drought comes. Hey, there's going to be times that your life is going to be rough. That's just part of living in this earth. It's going to be hard some days. If you're trusting in the flesh, you're not going to see that God's doing a good work in your life. If you're trusting in the Lord, you're still going to be good. You're still going to grow. You're still going to produce fruit. You will still survive even in the time of drought in your life. Because you're rooted in the Lord, not rooted in the flesh. Because you've seen that you need Jesus. Okay? So we've looked at where is our roots. We've now looked at what are we rooted in. Now let's get a little more personal. Let's say, well, what type of root are you? You see, there's lots of different types of roots. There's rhizomatous roots. There's tap roots. There's roots that produce tubers like a potato. There's lots of different kinds of roots. They each have a different purpose. Some are good, some are bad. Let's look at what different type of roots we see in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, 14 through 15. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Look carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble and by the many become defiled. Now is your root today a bitter root? How many of you, whenever we read that, immediately thought of a person in your life who has done you wrong? If you did, you may have a bitter root. And it says that that's a problem. A big problem. I've met several people, and I have people in my family. When you sit down and get to talking to them, and certain names come up, and they're like, well, that person 28 years ago did this to me. And I wonder how much fruit is being robbed out of that person's life, because they still are bitter against what so-and-so did years ago. You see, it's as if they never let go of the broken branch. They never let God heal that over in their life. So-and-so did me wrong. I should have had this. I should have had that. This boss overlooked me in my job. This person cheated me. This person stuck me for this or that. They stabbed me in the back. So what? Let God deal with them. You need Jesus. So if you've got a bitter root today, be careful. 1 Timothy 6 through 8 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Do you have a root of discontentment? Is nothing ever good enough? Do you have to have the next best thing? Is there always that struggle to measure up to other people? Are you discontent in where God has you walking? Are you discontent in the relationship you're in your marriage, and you're looking for the next best thing? The newlyweds up here are like, oh, not us. The old people in other parts of the room are going, give you 20 years. Oh, that we could stay like that for the next 20 years, right? Amen? Please? Yeah. Are you discontented? Are you trolling old girlfriends on your Facebook or old boyfriends? Are you discontented? Now I'm getting into meddling, aren't I? You know what? It's those roots, it's those little things that seem so harmless that are going to cause some of the biggest damage as they grow. That little quackgrass root that grows through them potatoes, it don't look too big. But it can ruin a potato. The root of discontentment can be very bad in your life. Are you rooted in the Lord? Are you trusting in Him that He has you where He wants you? And allow the fruit to grow? As we continue in Timothy, we read, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You see, we take that discontentment, and then we take it one step further, and we begin to love money more than we love our God. I got got to have the stuff the money can buy. I got to have the prestige the money can buy. I got to have people looking up to me. The clothes. I got to have the car that just does this or that. Do we have a greed? I heard it once said that they asked a millionaire, how many millions will it take to make you content? And he said, one more. It always takes one more. If you think that if you just get a higher paying job, that all your life is going to be better, you're probably wrong. Because you need Jesus before you need a higher paying job. You need Jesus before you need money. Is your root greedy? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 3. Where's Adam today? Adam, are you online? I sure hope you are, because all week I'm reading Proverbs. I'm thinking about Adam quoting Proverbs to us. Proverbs 12, 3. A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. Which root are you? Wicked root or righteous root? A righteous man, a man who always does the next right thing, he can't be moved. That's a good solid foundation. You want to talk about a root that keeps that tree standing through a hurricane? That's a righteous root. The wicked root, gone. Blowed over. And I just now thought of this. Thank you, Lord. A few years ago, the Game Commission timbered some ground right next to mine, and they clear cut it right up to my property line. And what you learn in what I learned in school about how trees grow, when they're all planted next to each other, they rely on each other. Sort of like a fleshly root relying on the other people around them, you know? And as soon as they cut all those trees next to mine down, the wind come up that hollow and it blew over the next 60 to 100 feet of trees that were on my property. You see, those trees were relying on the trees next to it. And when the trees next to it were gone, they weren't righteous. And they blew over. They weren't right. They weren't ready for those struggles. What's your root? Examine it. Look at it closely. Ask God to reveal what's going on in my root. Am I in the wrong place? Is my ground not right? Am I just, is there something, is sin or something in my life that is making me wrong, that I'm going to fail in my root, that I can't take up what you have for me? Examine that in your life. Because when we find that there's those problems in our roots, there's something really cool that we find in Romans chapter 11, verses 17 through 18. And I understand this scripture is a little out of context, but please give me a little liberty on this. All right? The context of Romans chapter 11 is Paul is saying how the Gentiles were brought into the family of God when the Jewish people would not accept Jesus as their Messiah. And we read this, and if some of the branches were broken off and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Give me a little liberty here. Look at this. Because ultimately, God will graft you into, I don't care if you're a Jew or a Gentile, God will graft you into His family. And you don't have to support Him. He supports you. But God does the work. That that's the great thing. As I continue to look down at all these different verses on the roots, and I'm looking at this going, man, God, I got this, I got that, I got, man, I'm struggling here. God says, look, I'll give you a whole new root system. Let me cut the old root system out. Let me graft you into the new root system. Allow that root to stay rooted and deep and abiding in Jesus. And that root will help you to grow and produce a fruit. Because that root, Jesus, is going to support you. You need Jesus. I have one last verse for you this morning. And it's at the end of the book of Hosea. And the prophet Hosea is writing this after God has had him do some really crazy things to demonstrate the love of God to the Israelites. And this is what Hosea has written, and I think it's important to us when we look at what God is doing, has showed us about our root and what's going on in our life, that this needs to be our response. So just as we read down, just pay attention closely to these words. O Israel, return to the Lord your God. For you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously. For we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods. For if you, the fatherless, finds mercy, for in you the fatherless finds mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, God says. For my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. His branches shall spread. His beauty shall be like an olive tree and his fragrance like Lebanon. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall be revived like grain and grow like a vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard and observed him. I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me. Take your words to the one who loves you, who calls you by name, who demonstrated his love to you and to me. Confess your sin. Admit your wrong. Allow him to graft you into his root and abide in his soil. You need Jesus. Allow your roots to draw in Jesus. Because Jesus is what we need. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this day. I thank you that you have called us here. I thank you that you've chosen us. I thank you that you are standing there willing and ready to graft us into your root and for you to draw into our lives and abide with us, to make us like the bountiful tree. God, you turn the graveyards of our lives into gardens. You take what we've screwed up and you make it right. You take what this world around us has screwed up and you make it right in our life. No one can do this but you, and you alone. I confess this morning, I need Jesus. And I need him more, and I need him more every day. So God, give me the root to draw Jesus in. Let me stand in him and be strong. Thank you for what you do in our lives. Thank you for your healing, your supernatural healing and growth. You are awesome, and we worship you today, God. Thank you for this. In your Son's name, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray this. Amen.